kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino. Pakinggan niyo pa ang kwento sa sbs.com.au/filipino.
Kasama ko ngayon dito sa studio mga kababayan natin mula sa Visayas at ating pag-uusapan ang kanilang ilang araw na paglalagi dito sa Melbourne University, kasama si Idarlina Mateo Babiano, siya ang Associate Professor in Urban Planning at pag-uusapan natin ang placemaking. Magandang araw, Idarlina.
Magandang araw din.
Una sa lahat, bago natin i-introduce ang mga kasama natin, pwede mong paliwanag, ano ba yung placemaking?
Yeah, so yung placemaking, parang ano siya, parang mong, kumbaga, metaphor ng bahay, di ba? So as architects or built environment professionals, na-train kami na gumawa ng bahay, di ba? Mag-design. So magde-design kami ng bahay, merong walls, merong ceiling, merong floor. Yun, so nakagawa kami ng bahay. Pero hindi siya magiging bahay talagang tunay, magiging home, kung hindi siya titirhan ng mga tao at hindi magkakaroon ng relationship building ng mga taong nakatira doon ang bahay. So, ganun din sa public space. So, meron tayong public space, we design public space in a certain way. Merong street furniture, merong, you know, concrete, merong spaces for people to socialize, etc. Pero yung hardware na yon, kumbaga, kung hindi siya gagamitin ng tao to actually build relationships, to socialize, to interact with each other, so hindi siya magiging place. So yung placemaking is actually the transformation of public space to place.
Gusto ko yung sinabi mo kanina na yung bahay, you make the house into a home.
Mm-mm. So parang ganun yung, ano ba yan, yung association ng space to place.
Oo. Kumbaga, kung dito sa Melbourne, marami sa atin ay nagpupunta sa parke. So, ano ba yung park, di ba? Ginagawa siyang family friendly. Merong mga pwedeng magmuni-muni ang mga magkasintahan. Meron namang parte na pwedeng maglaro ang mga may chikiting. Meron ding parte na pwedeng mag-relax ang mga medyo senior na. So, yung pagbigay ng sapat na lugar para sa bawat isang miyembro ng komunidad.
Oo. Tapos magkaroon sila ng own attachment to that place. Parang may sense sila. Ano ba yung meaning ng place na yun para sa kanila? Because when they have that, then that is placemaking.
At sa, kung di ako nagkakamali, isang linggo, mahigit isang linggo na workshop, 2 weeks na workshop, meron kang mga kababayan natin mula Luzon, Visayas at Mindanao.
Yes.
At uunahin natin ngayon ang mga taga-Bisaya. Ayan, Visayas. Kasama natin si Romel Hidalgo. Siya ay isang arkitekto at project and construction management. At kasama rin natin si Leonin Baredo Hidalgo, isa ring architect at isang academic. At kasama natin si Chris Ribo. Siya ay nasa environmental planning ng local government ng Haro. At syempre, last but not the least, si Jovic Mondejar. Siya ay environmental planner ng Monde Studio. So lahat kayo, welcome. At lahat kayo ay may kanya-kanyang lugar sa Visayas. Ikaw, Romel, ay...
Kami ni Lynn. We're from Eastern Visayas, particularly Tacloban City.
Ikaw naman, Chris, ay taga...
Haro Leyte.
Taga Haro Leyte. At si Jovic ang medyo naliligaw.
Yeah. So I was born in Antique, but I lived and grew up also in Iloilo. But my hometown really is Antique.
Yan. So yun yung may mga kawa na niluluto yung mga tao. Yan. Tacloban. Nakilala yung Tacloban sa Bagyong Yolanda. Una sa lahat, anong natutunan ninyo sa Bagyong Yolanda? Sa paggagawa ng mga bahay, ng mga lugar? Dahil arkitekto kayong mag-asawa, tama?
Okay.
So ano yung mga natutunan natin?
Marami. Like for example, during, after, before, after, at saka yung how we do the reconstruction of the homes, the structures in the universities. So parang mixed use feeling, parang mixed feelings yung na experience namin during Typhoon Yolanda. Kasi actually when the typhoon hit Tacloban City, we were not there. Oh, so but when we came back, we really saw what happened. We really saw what was the destruction, the damage. Yung damage ng Tacloban. And then so during that time when we get back, 2-3 days after the typhoon, nakita namin yung mga yung university lahat wasak. Tapos yung mga homes along coastal area ng Tacloban City wasak din. And then during the reconstruction naman, we tried to have planning sessions with the city government, with because we're from the academe, so we represented the university as part in how are we going to come up with a plan. Hindi lang plano na short term. So what we did during that time is to really see to it that the community, the Taclobanons, have something to say about what they want to do in terms of the reconstruction and the improvement of our town.
So maraming taon nang nakalipas. Nasaan na tayo dun sa reconstruction na yun?
With regards to the reconstruction, many from the families along the coastal line, nilipat sila at the northern part of Tacloban City, where the local government think, and together with the NGOs think, that it is the best place for them to live now because it's far more far from the coastal area. So there's a lot of NGOs that went to our city in Tacloban, and they have donated some parcels of land. Even also the private sectors from Tacloban City also donated parcels of lands for the families who were devastated during the typhoon. So as an academician, we shared our knowledge to the local government on how are we going to construct this pabahay to make it more resilient. So even the organization, the United Architects of the Philippines from the national, even exerted their effort to help the Taclobanans for during that time. So even the Filipinos coming from outside of the Philippines, sure, they have really, they gave a lot of supports and sponsorships to the Taclobanans during that typhoon, during that time.
Chris, nabanggit mo kanina, no, nung nag-uusap tayo sa pagpaplano, sa usapin ng placemaking. Sa atin sa Pilipinas, meron na yung tinatawag na
Comprehensive Land Use Plan.
So, ibig sabihin, in-incorporate yung lahat ng mga taong
Lahat ng sector, yung social, economic, environmental, and natural resources, infrastructure, and institutional capacity.
Kasi nabanggit nila kanina, nila architect kanina, na yung mga taga-coastal, yung mga kalapit-dagat na naninirahan, nilipat sila sa ibang bahagi ng, ina-assume ko malayo sa dagat. So, ina-assume ko rin na marami yung mga na-uproot sa kanilang mga livelihood. So, paano natin ina-address yung mga ganito?
Kasi sa national na yan po, hindi na sa local. Well, the partner yan. So, meron tayong social preparation. So, madaming process naman yan na ginawa. Yung site selection. So, yung process na yun would help the yung resettlement. Meron pa yung resettlement action plan. So, lahat naman po yun na ini-insure naman nila na nagawa para ma-prepare yung malilipat.
Relocation.
Ano yun naman yung nakita mo na pwede mong dalhin pabalik sa inyo?
Yung placemaking kasi, yung building a relationship with the community, maganda siya na i-integrate sa mga gantong process kasi pag may involvement ang mga participant or yung mga community mismo, yung project mas may chance na mag-push or maging successful kasi part sila ng planning. And sa kanila galing yung solution, hindi yung, dito ka lilipat sa, sabi natin, Rizal, taga Quezon City ako, lilipat ako ng Rizal, Montalban, ganyan. So, ako, medyo may resentment or parang ayoko kasi andito yung work ko. Whereas, kung gusto ko dito sa in-city kasi andito yung work ko, may voice. So, mas may chance na, sige, lilipat ako sa safer place. Kasi ako naman yung nagsabi. Ako yung nag-set kung saan ako pwedeng lumipat.
Kasi marami, di ba, yung paglikasan na, yung mag-evacuate na pag may bagyo, may Mayon volcano, puputok yung Taal, yung Mayon. Ayaw nila umalis kasi may iwan nila yung mga baka nila, mga baboy nila. So, yun yung mga, isa sa mga worries na hindi naman natin sila masisisi kasi babakwit nga sila, pero paano naman yung buhay nila?
Doon maganda pa i-insert ang placemaking Kasi it's parang yung process of yung building a relationship, nakakapag na-adjust sila sa new environment nila po. And at the same time, nadadala nila yung past, yung mga historical events nila sa kung saan man sila bago. So, hindi sila nakakalimot or yung bringing their home with them.
Pero, Jovic, yung isa sa mga mahalaga, di ba, yung tinatawag na, sinasabi ni Chris na relationship,
yeah.
Tiwala. Ano yung nakita mo na kung paano mo madadala yung ganitong mga natutunan mo sa pagbuo at pagkipag-ugnayan nang nakukuha mo yung tiwala?
We're actually required to do a re-entry plan or program when we return to the Philippines, no? And the activity that I presented starts with kids. So I think the tiwala or the trust, I would really like to involve and start the conversation with kids. Kasi you're nurturing them from the young age pa lang. And you're teaching them certain values. It could be history. It could be the tradition of the place. So from there pa lang, the kids would really have a sense of pride, belongingness, and identity of the place. So I think the trust and tiwala, or tiwala to the government or to the community, will be there. And they will carry that over to future generations. No?
Nabanggit mo yung pagpapahalaga sa nakaraan. Nakita nyo dito sa Melbourne, di ba? Maraming mga lugar na nagbibigay sa inyo ng idea kung ano yung bakas ng nakaraan. Mm. Dahil meron kaming mga tinatawag na heritage-listed homes, heritage-listed buildings. Sa Melbourne Uni, maraming, di ba? Ano yung nakita nyo na pwede nating kasi sa Visayas,
yeah.
Sa Iloilo, maraming ganun, hindi ba?
Yeah.
Sa Antique, nakita ko na may ni-restore na lumang bahay na ginawang museo.
Mm-hmm.
So, paano natin magagawa yon sa atin? Dahil mayaman din tayo sa mga ganun eh.
Yeah. For me, particularly in the context of Antique, there's been a book that has been published about Panay Island. And it has been a tradition for Antiqueños particularly that they're building out of bamboo materials. So I'd really like to go back from there, the roots of building from sustainable materials such as bamboo. And right now I'm being engaged and I'm part of an organization that promotes bamboo awareness and bamboo material as really a sustainable or the future of sustainable construction.
Tsaka maganda yun, no? Presko. Hindi mo
yes.
Na kala mag-aircon.
Yes, and I think that's what, I think there's been a parang gap that has not been addressed yet. Kasi the kids right now, they think of bamboo as a poor man's construction material. And they don't see the value of bamboo material in construction, in our daily lives. But I think this is the right time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now is really like the right timing for us to be able to promote better the material.
Nabanggit niya yung kawayan, yung bamboo. Ang pag naalala ko, yun, naalala ko si Architect Manyosa.
Yeah.
Yung bahay kubo, di ba? Ginawa niyang modern, dahil marami tayong mga gusali na parang tinaguyod niya yon yung bahay kubo, pero sa modern na aspeto. Ano yung nakikita niyo magiging papel ng mga architect tulad ninyo sa hinaharap, sa pagbuo ng tinatag na sustainable na matitirhan, na mga gusali, na mga tanggapan.
Like this one, placemaking, it teaches us how to be sustainable. So like for example, and also being resilient also. So when it comes to sustainability, I think with regards to the materials being used, you should choose materials that is sustainable and also not harmful to the environment. I think when you say sustainable, it's not only the materiality, but also the ecosystem around it. So it's not only the people. So it's also including the living and the non-living when you talk about sustainability. So it should be like that, and it should be resilient also.
Locally resource.
Locally resilient.
In addition to that.
Kasi dito, di ba, Darlene, dito sa Australia, nakikita natin na uuso na yung sustainable homes.
Uh-huh.
Yung mga sabihin natin medyo mahal kasi mag pagtayo ng sustainable home, 'di ba? Yung double glazed glass, yung insulation. Pero sa tingin ko mas madali sa Pilipinas kasi isa lang naman yung weather natin.
Yung concept kasi nung yung tinuturo ng placemaking, it's really about regenerative placemaking. So it's talking about us as an ecosystem. So we're not just planning for people, but we're actually planning for the ecosystem. Yung at the start nga, di ba, yung sabi ko na when you teach a man to fish, hindi pala, pag if you give a man a fish, then he can eat for a day. But if you give a man, if you teach a man to fish, then he or she could probably eat for a lifetime. But if you actually teach him to love the ocean, then it means he or she would know when to stop to let the ocean regenerate, because he or she would be caring for it, loving it, and knowing that if something happens to it, it will have repercussion or ripple effect to him.
So yun yung sustainability, long-term planning. Yes. Hanggang sa susunod, maraming salamat sa inyong lahat.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Marie.
I-like, i-share, mag-comment, sundan ang SBS Filipino sa Facebook.